time than ever, especially with a long commute. That's when I discovered the real value of Catholic audio. Listening to cassette tapes transformed my daily commute into a miniature retreat. And that's the beauty of Virgin Most Powerful Radio today. Since the podcasts are archived, you can listen anytime on our smartphone app. I know how listening to Catholic audio can bring you closer to Christ and His Church. So I encourage you to visit the App Store or go to vmpr.org and download the app today. It just might change your life. I'm Matthew Arnold for Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.
Terry and Jesse show, Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, we place our
trust in thee.
The month of June is dedicated not to Pride Month. Are you kidding me? No, it's dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus.
Amen.
In 1693, St. Margaret Mary Alacoque had the first of four visions where our blessed Lord exposed his Sacred Heart, burning with love for the whole world. And so the month of June is a good month to consecrate yourself and your family to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. If you've never done a home enthronement, today would be a great month to do so. You could just type up on the internet how to do a home enthronement, and Dad, you can do it yourself. You place an image of the Sacred Heart of Jesus in your home. You lead the family in prayers. Make sure the image is blessed by a Catholic priest. And what does this do? This indicates and reminds us, there you go, that Jesus Christ is King of our homes and our marriages and our families. And this is basically letting the devil know, you got no room in this house. Get out. Terry, I'm on duty. What about
you? I'm on duty, Jesse. And today's show is going to talk a little bit about what you were doing out in New Jersey. I took about 2.5 minutes of your presentation, and you lit up the crowd. Why? Because you just spoke from your heart about your love for Jesus Christ and his bride, the church, and your concern for Cardinal Dolan. So we're going to be covering that.
Tobin.
I get those guys mixed up. Tobin.
Yeah. Next to each other.
Yep, yeah. And also we're going to be talking with an article from Philip Lawler, who's Beware When Church Leaders Manipulate Language. Very well done article. Also, just to give everybody an update, the Supreme Court sided with the Catholic Adoption Agency that refuses to work with LGBT couples. You know what, Jesse? I'm going to thank President Trump, former President Trump, because this is a really good sign that the Supreme Court acknowledges religious freedom with the First Amendment. So I just want to say that's good news for us all. And Jesse, one more little quick note. This will make you laugh. I always search before I go on the air about little stories. And check this out, everybody. Brilliant. They came out. These are 14 countries. They've spent dozens of years researching this topic. And what's the topic? Aging. They come out and found out that aging process is unstoppable, finds unprecedented study. I find that funny, Jesse. I'll tell you why. We could have told them that life is short and eternity is forever, because that's the way God designed it. You're not here to live forever. You're here to live for a short period of time, to find the meaning and purpose of life, and live out that faith according to what God has given to you, and get to heaven. And when people, you know, scientists can figure that out, they'll know what the meaning and purpose of life is. But Jesse,
you know, it's funny, these scientists, Terry, everything that they try to do is
study.
Try to extend human life.
Yeah, that's it.
You
because
know,
they're scared. I wonder if they're scared about COVID too. You think?
They just live in fear. But the fact is, Psalm 90 tells us that the average person lives into their 70s. That's the average. And Psalm 90 says that if you're very strong, you live till about 80. So we're not going to be here that long. But the secular humanists, again, What's sad about them, Terry, is that they act and live as if God doesn't exist.
Exactly. That's a whole culture. That's why we have to speak out with clarity and charity. Jesse, how about giving us some soul food from the readings at the Mass today?
Absolutely. St. Matthew chapter 6, chapter 6, verses 7 to 15.
That's right. Your Father.
Jesus said to his disciples, in praying, do not babble like the pagans who think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This is how you are to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And that's a reference to the Eucharist, Epiousios. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That means Satan right there, or the devil, directly in the Greek.
Yep.
If you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your transgressions. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Of all the singular prayers in Christianity, this is numero uno.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, this is the top of the food chain because it was taught by the Son of God himself. And so this is the perfect prayer, the quintessential perfect prayer. In fact, it's so perfect that the Catechism has an entire section just on the Our Father, just on this prayer. The Catechism doesn't do that with any other prayer except for the Our Father. And St. Thomas Aquinas, he said about prayer in general, he says, prayer is the language of hope. The concluding formula of liturgical prayers is, through Christ our Lord, amen. This corresponds to the fact that Christ is our hope, the anchor of our hope. The Lord teaches us hope by teaching us this prayer, St. Thomas says. And Pope Benedict the 16th says, our Father is a school of hope. It's actual practice. Those who despair do not pray anymore because they no longer hope. Those who are sure of themselves and their own power do not pray because they rely on themselves. Those who pray in a goodness and in a power that transcends their own capabilities, prayer is hope in execution. And finally, Pope Benedict says, all our hopes find their culmination in the one hope, which is, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The earth will become like heaven. It will itself become heaven. In his will is to be found all our hope. Learning to pray is learning to hope, and thus learning to love. I like the way Pope Benedict says, you know, that's when you look at the bad news that's happening around the country and even in the church, Pope Benedict says that last line is what gives us peace. When we say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, knowing that when it's all said and done, everybody will be judged by the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, and he will establish his rule over every single person at that point. Some people in eternal salvation, some people in eternal damnation, but everybody will be under the dominion of Christ on that day.
Jesse, you remind me of what Benedict the 16th said. I've been reading a lot of his stuff. He's always talking about how to get to heaven. And one of the things he said to the bishops is that you could become an apostate by not teaching the Catholic faith. Did you hear that? He said that to the bishops. By not teaching the Catholic faith, when you need to be teaching it, you can become an apostate. Wow. That's the Benedict the 16th comment. I'll get that quote for exactly when and where. I heard it on EWTN's news.
I wonder if they'll use that for their deliberations.
Yeah, I doubt it. As a matter of fact, Jesse, we need to be praying hard. Hey, I just wanted to mention this. Fulton Sheen always jumps into these conversations, so let's bring him in on that locomotive. Full steam ahead. If Fulton Sheen was alive today, Jesse, and he saw the watering down of the faith being done inside the church, here's a comment he said 60 years ago about weakness. This is what I call weakness. He says, almost everyone today wants religion, but everybody wants a religion that does not cost too much. That is why Christianity has been watered down to suit the modern man. Jesse, I'm going to say that Fulton Sheen was describing some people inside our church right now. No, really, watering down the church to make it more palatable to modern man. Can I make a suggestion as a layman? It's just the opposite, Jesse, and you know this, that when you give clear directives about our Catholic faith, especially when it comes to morals and doctrine, people respect it more than if you say, well, you know, that was, you know, St. Paul, like Father James Martin said, I know what St. Paul says about homosexuality. I just don't happen to agree with him. See, that's compromise. We either have to take the whole revealed truth or nothing. That's what Bishop Sheen is saying.
I would say that's worse than compromise. That's heresy.
It is heresy. You're nailing
it, Jeff. That's the obstinate refusal to assent to a teaching of the church after you've been baptized. That's heresy.
Yeah. And the bottom line is, this is a man who's going around promoting homosexuality's lifestyle.
Promoting heresy.
Yes. And nobody in his superiors is saying boo about it. I'm not a superior, but you know what I'd tell him out of charity, Jess? That he's going to hell if he continues to do this, knowingly giving false teaching on what Jesus Christ has revealed when it comes to morality. That would be charity.
I'll tell you why it's happening. It's very simple. St. John Paul II told us, nobody wants to say it. It's not popular. And Archbishop Vigano said the exact same thing.
Yeah.
What we're dealing with right now is the church versus an anti-church.
That's true.
And there are many of these people that represent the anti-church that St. John Paul II talked about and Archbishop Vigano talks about.
Well
right
said.
Now, we're dealing with two Catholic churches. There's a
true.
Church and an anti-church. And it's not popular to say, but those are the facts. By the way, this Saturday, I'm going to be having a big bonfire out here at Bertuccio Farms in Gilbert, Arizona. Got 200 men signed up around a bonfire. I'm going to be talking to the men. I'm going to be doing some power preaching on the social kingship of Christ.
I love it.
What does that mean? Bertuccio Farms, Gilbert, Arizona, Saturday night, 7 to 9 p.m. You got 200 guys signed up.
That's awesome,
we'll have room. I'm just going to talk about the social kingship of Jesus Christ.
I love it.
As the guys are around a bonfire, and we're going to do the rosary after.
Awesome.
And night prayers after before we
go. And Jesse, I'm going to be with Father Don Calloway in Lake Elsinore for a Divine Mercy conference. If you want to go, call 951-970-5857. When we come back, I got this guy named Jesse Romero. I filmed him. I got a little film on YouTube about what he did out there in New Jersey and with Cardinal Tobin. I really want you to see it, and we'll be back. You won't want to miss what Jess had to say out of charity and clarity. He called the Cardinal the fidelity to Jesus. We'll be back.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Thanks for joining us here on the Terry and Jesse Show. You want some inspiration from a layman? That's Jess Romero. He was out all the way out in New Jersey. I told you he was out of town. He called in to tell us a little bit, but I wanted you to hear a couple minutes of his speech. And then, Jess, I want you to tell right in person to our radio listeners what your message was to Cardinal Tobin and to the Catholic Church. So let's play that clip and get it started.
As a Catholic, I'm a lay person. I'm a nobody. I'm a sinner. I'm a lay person in the pew just like yourself. In the Catholic Church, we have shepherds. We have successors of the apostles. These are the generals of the Catholic Church. We are just the field officers. I get that. I'm a nobody that wants to tell everybody that there's somebody named Jesus who could save everybody. And as Catholics, let's not forget, our faith is in Jesus Christ, who died, suffered for us, and rose from the dead. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus. Don't fall into despair. That's exactly what the devil wants, for us to fall into the sin of despair. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, and be devoted to his mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary. Okay? Consecrate yourself to her every single day. The Catholic Church gives us the right and the obligation as lay people to speak out. Canon 212, paragraph 909 of the Catechism says, lay people have the right and duty to manifest to the sacred pastors their opinion on matters which pertain to the good of the church. They have a right to make their opinion known to other Christian faithful for the common good. That's what we're doing here. Cardinal Tobin, You are a successor of the apostles. Your red hat means that you should be willing to die for the church. You should be willing to lay down your life as a martyr, like St. John Fisher, St. Thomas More, Blessed Miguel Pro, so many more. And we're calling you as sons and daughters of the church. We are not over you. We get that. We are your foot soldiers. We are the front line of the Catholic Church. You are one of the generals of Catholicism. You're one of the successors of the apostles. We're asking you, protect us. Protect your sheep. Use your crozier to beat the wolves off. We are asking you to be faithful to your apostolic calling. We know that you have within you, through the graces of your ordination, the gift of courage and the gift of fortitude. Cardinal Tobin, we are calling you to find, to dig deep, and to be the apostle that you are by office. You're a successor of the apostles by office. We're asking you to protect your sheep, all the little ones out there.
Wow, and big amen to that. Jess, tell us a little bit more what you told the folks that were praying their rosary and what was going on there. Give us a little bit more information on this.
Let me give you the context.
Yeah.
Let me give you the context.
Yeah.
I was that was put on by Lepanto Institute. Michael Hitchborn invited me.
Yeah.
Father James Altman and Michael Hitchborn, obviously they put it on themselves.
Yeah.
They've been writing a lot of articles on the fact that there's a Catholic radio station within a Catholic college in the Diocese of Newark, New Jersey, under Cardinal Tobin's, basically, it's in his diocese,
his
territory.
Yeah.
And they play satanic music throughout the day. Michael Hitchborn has recorded a lot of the lyrics and put them on Lepanto Institute. They are horrific. Yeah. I can't believe that any Catholic college and student Catholic radio station would allow this. I can't even begin to tell you the lyrics of these videos. And so they've been protesting, and Cardinal Tobin has just no problem with it. He just shines them on.
Mm-hmm.
So Lepanto Institute, they do a lot of investigative reporting, and this is one of their things that they've been investigating for a long time. They wanted to basically just do a peaceful prayer rally, like a Jericho march, where we walked around the cathedral with about 200 people from that area showed up, and we were doing a Jericho march, peacefully playing the rosary. We had four men carrying a statue of Our Lady of Fatima, and then we parked it right outside the window of Cardinal Tobin, and he was inside. He was opening up the curtains and closing them. We could actually hear from his monitor. He was on a Zoom call with the USCCB. They're having a meeting, so he had loudspeakers on, so we could actually hear the meeting that he was on via Zoom. And we're just outside his window, and we're praying and singing. And then we gave some presentations. I spoke. Michael Hitchborn invited me to speak, and I told him, "Look, Mike, I got a different style from other people. it's because I understand my position as a lay Catholic, and I want to stay as Father Chad Ripperger has taught me very well. He says, Jess, always stay within your lane of authority, and you'll be safe. Don't go outside of your lane. So I know that. So once I try to start telling a bishop or a cardinal, you know, reprimanding him or wagging my finger or chiding him or, you know, that's outside my lane, and I'm going to be subject to retaliation. That's a dangerous thing to do. And I'd say that because the story of David and Saul comes to mind. King Saul was trying to kill David, and King Saul is going after him. He thinks he's in a cave. David's not in there. He gets away. King Saul falls asleep. David walks in there, and he cuts a piece of the cloth from his hem, from his tunic. Saul wakes up, and David's at the foot of the cave, and he's holding a piece of the cloth of his garment, and basically telling King Saul, I could have killed you. You were asleep. I could have slit your throat. He says, but I will never touch God's anointed. I will never touch the Lord's anointed. And so that's always taught me that you have to walk a fine line when you criticize a bishop or a priest. We do have the right in paragraph 909 of the catechism, But boy, oh boy, you better watch yourself and don't fall. And so, Terry, all I did was call him to fidelity.
Absolutely.
I was just calling him as a son of the church that has no rank. I'm just a foot soldier, a son of the church. I'm calling him as a father of the church to be a shepherd to us, to protect us. So many young Catholics are being decimated, and so many young Catholics are being wounded by the satanic music. In fact, Terry, I mean, this is no secret, but Anton LaVey, who is the founder of the Church of Satan, and his son, they actually said that they were going to control the young people. They said, we will control the young people by disordered music.
Right.
And so this is the... In fact, I just got the quote here. Anton LaVey, high priest of the Church of Satan, and his son-in-law, Nicholas Schreck, they say, our plan is to subvert humanity using pop culture, most especially through the manipulation of the human mind through music.
There you go.
And the propaganda of politics. So this is exactly what the devil is doing, using the lies of politics and using music to go after our young people. And so because I do know a lot about spiritual warfare, I have been trained in this area for years, and I probably know more than the average Catholic. I know the inherent dangers, Terry.
Of course.
Of this type of music.
Yes.
Terry, it's just like good music orders the soul towards virtue. You know, Father Basil Norris talked about this years ago.
Opus Angelorum, yep.
And then you have bad music. Bad music disorders the soul, and it pushes you to a life of vice. Bad music causes internal disorder. It's not healthy for you. It leads to disordered lives. And the fact of the matter is, this is why St. John Vianney tells us, he says that we've got to take custody of our senses, our five senses, because this is how the way demons attack us. And, music has a powerful effect on people. If you don't think so, when you listen to a funeral and you hear the movie Taps, does it strike something in your soul?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. How about when you go to a wedding and you hear the nice pipe organ playing as the young couple's walking down the aisle? Does that do something for your soul?
Of course.
Or how about,
UFC music?
Yeah, our theme music. Does it do something in your soul? What about a sporting event, a UFC fight, when the guys are walking into the cage and that chromatic music? It does. It affects the soul. And so, again, the famous Roman historian Seneca, he said that vices more easily enter the soul when one is being entertained by music.
That's
and
true.
So, because I guess Michael Hitchford, he knows I know a lot about this area. That's why he invited me. Yeah. I was glad to go and glad to just, as a nobody lay Catholic, call a successor of the apostle to fidelity. Terry, and we've been warned.
Oh, yeah.
Our Lady of Akita, Japan.
There you go.
Our Lady of La Salette.
That's right.
Our Lady of Good Success.
All of them.
We've been told that the devil is going to infiltrate the clergy. The clergy. Bishops will fight against bishops. Cardinals against cardinals. So this is something that the Mother of God has been warning us. And again, as my obligation, Canon 212, paragraph 909 of the Catechism, we have to do this, as unpopular as it is.
And you know, Bishop Sheen is up in heaven smiling down on you, brother, because he said in the 1970s that lay people, go ask your bishop to be good bishops, get your priest to be holy priests. The laity are going to save the church. And I'll tell you, Jesse, this is the age of the laity right now, and I'll tell you why. Because so much of our clergy have been infiltrated by modernism. That's what it is. It's modernism that we're attacking. The Freemasons, all of it, it's all there. And so we lay people, all we can do is we pray, but we also call all of our priests, bishops, everyone in our church, including myself, to fidelity to the perennial teachings of the church. That's what we do. And sometimes, Jesse, they're not going to be too happy with us. As a matter of fact, I guarantee you this, Jess, if you were a permanent deacon or a priest, you'd be gone in a second. They'd take your faculties. But because you're a layman going over there, and the way you described that presentation was with great respect, and I think that's what many of us need to follow. You gave us a great example of how to call a cardinal out with love and fidelity. And I just want to publicly thank you for going thousands of miles out to New Jersey to be there and to inspire young and old, young lay people to be followers of Christ in a very heroic way by calling our church leaders to fidelity to the perennial teachings of the church. And for that, I thank you, my brother.
Terry, I also am concerned for his soul because, again, Archbishop St. John Chrysostom warned us that in hell there's a lot of skullcaps and mitres.
For a good reason.
And so it's, you know, St. John Vianney, patron saint of parish priests, says, one holy priest leads thousands of people to heaven.
Right.
One unholy priest leads thousands of people to hell.
Yep.
James chapter 3, verse 1, it tells, be careful, you teachers of the gospel.
Yep.
Be careful because you're going to be judged with a stricter, you know, measuring rod. And this is exactly what he is. He's an official teacher of the Catholic Church, a successor of the apostle. His office has incredible weight, and I'm just giving him a sobering message.
That's right.
Please, Cardinal Tobin, wake up. Wake up before it's too late and defend us and find that fortitude that you once had when you received holy orders.
Holy priest, holy people, holy people, holy priest. It goes back and forth. We come back, we're going to take Phil Lawler's article regarding our church leaders. Stay with us. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Blue Collar Catholic.
Oh. Jesse, get your mic up a little bit, brother. Okay.
Blue Collar Catholic Radio, the Terry and Jesse Show. Terry,
yes,
Philip
yes.
Lawler is one of my favorite.
Me too. He's a good man.
Yeah,
holy man.
Writers in the Catholic Church.
Yep.
Yeah, he's been in this battle a long time.
Yes.
And he's telling us lay people to beware when the church leaders manipulate the language.
Yep.
I'll tell you why, because we've talked about this in the past. Verbal engineering, that's what it's called. It leads to social engineering.
That's right.
Philip Lawler says, the topic of all these consultations, again, will be synodality. The quest for synodality is a key theme in the teaching of Pope Francis.
That's a fact.
But the truth is that no one has a very clear understanding what synodality means.
And that's a fact, too. Ambiguity.
And maybe that's the point. Will a year of consultations clarify things, or will it simply allow for more general confusion?
Mm-hmm.
As you said, Terry, seems to me like there's going to be more ambiguity, more unending dialogue amongst modernists to continue incrementally changing doctrine. So what's he talking about? Philip Lawler's talking about the confusion, the obfuscation, the abuses of language in many recent pronouncements from the church leaders. And he's specifically in this article referring to last week months ago in October, when the Vatican, they had a meeting of Synod of Bishops, and that was scheduled in October 2022, but they postponed it to allow for broader discussions of this topic, synodality. And again, the Vatican has suggested a full program of consultations in parishes, at the level of the diocese, at episcopal conferences, and finally at the continental level, leading to the bishop's session in Rome. So that's the context of this article. Philip Lawler says, a more likely possibility, in my view, will that general confusion allow for a cadre of activists to seize control of the process and turn synodality into a handy cover for their own preferred plans.
Well said, Jesse. Let me just jump in and say, you want to know what synodality looks like? Go over to Germany. You can see what that is. And that's the sad thing. Jesse also said this week a similar development with the Vatican unveiling a 7-year action platform to implement the teachings of the encyclical on the environment. Pope Francis explained the ambitious goal of this program, saying that we need a new ecological approach that can transform our way of dwelling in this world. Just before I continue, statement, I wish he would have said this. We need to look at our soul and make sure our soul doesn't have pollution of sin. rather than the world having this pollution. And I want to get you to heaven. Because you know what, Jess? With all due respect to the Holy Father, he's supposed to confirm me in my faith and give me soul food. This other part that he's talking about, I got solar panels. I recycle bottles. Don't get me wrong. I'm all for that. But, man, he's the vigor of Christ, and he's spending this much time on a 7-year program to help me clean up the earth. What about helping me clean up my soul?
Again, I had to say it, Jess. No, that statement, we need a new, Pope Francis says, this ambitious program, we need a new ecological approach. Terry, that's concerning, and
big time.
I'm gonna hit the rewind button. Back in 2007, mm-hmm. Pope Benedict invited Archbishop Cardinal Giacomo Beefy to give a retreat to Pope Benedict.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And again, the popes are very selective when they invite somebody to give them a retreat, especially an Orthodox pope like Benedict and John Paul II. They handpick the people to give them a personal retreat. Cardinal Giacomo Beefy, back in 2007, at the Lent retreat for Pope Benedict the 16th and the top members of the Vatican at that time, the Pope's retreat preacher, he said this, Terry.
Okay.
He said the Antichrist will be a pacifist, ecologist, and ecumenist.
Close quote.
Very interesting. I got that from LifeSite News, March 1st, 2007, actually written by John Henry Weston. Mm-hmm. Let's continue with this article.
Yeah, continue.
So how does the Vatican propose to transform human life? The plan suggests that the first year of the effort should focus on the three fundamental tasks of community building, resource sharing, and drawing up of concrete plans. Thus, after calling for 7 years of concrete action, the Vatican proposes to begin by making plans for concrete action. So this isn't really an action platform so much as a call for some actions which have not yet been identified. The Vatican's plan, as described, is not for specific actions, but for a lengthy, malleable process.
He got it.
When I hear that, Terry, I just think of...
I cringe.
I cringe. I'll tell you why. To me, this sounds like part of the entire Great Reset Plan.
Exactly.
The Great Reset Plan, Terry, is the implementation and the infiltration of communism around the West and into the church. And this reminds me of what the Catechism explains in paragraph 675. The Catechism explains in paragraph 675 that before Christ comes back, quote, there will be a supreme religious deception before the second coming of Christ. And the supreme form of this deception is that of the Antichrist. In other words, the Antichrist will deceive us before Christ comes back. The Catechism says the Antichrist will bring a pseudo-messianism by which man glorifies himself in the place of God and of his Messiah come in the flesh. This whole great reset, Terry, is a man-centered system to make a perfect utopian world, and God is irrelevant.
And you know, Jesse, if we go back to 1976, Paul Lawler talks about the Call to Action Conference. It's well known. This was really a landmark of liberalism that came to Detroit and saw how the carrot of such activities, whom he describes as the church mice, could and did drive the agenda, producing a pastoral disaster from which the church in America has not fully recovered. The bishops who should have controlled the meeting were unprepared, and activists were also very prepared and ready to seize the day. And here it is, Jess. In this, the meaning of synodality, it's a process that would allow a determined, organized minority to dictate pastoral practices. Look at Germany. Is this the way the Vatican under Pope Francis proposes a transform human activity, ushering an environmentalist utopia? And if that is the immediate future of the church, what will the cost be in terms of the integrity of Catholic doctrine and the vigor of the sacramental life and a mission to make disciples of all nations. You know what? This man nailed it, Jesse. What Paul Lauer, what Mr. Phil Lauer just said about Catholic doctrine, the vigor of sacramental life, the mission to make disciples of all nations, that has to be on the top of the burner, not on the back burner, not even talked about. What's talked about is our planet. And as much as I would say, Jesse, like I said, we shouldn't be wasting our resources on the planet. But for having the church to talk about this as the number one topic for Catholics, it seems to me is remiss and I think out of line. And I would continue to say, with all due respect to the hierarchy of our church, let's go back to basics, guys. Let's get that old town religion back. Let's go back to the fundamentals that the church has been teaching for 2,000 years, because I don't remember ever hearing this in 2,000 years from a magisterial point of view. Have you, Jess? I haven't.
Never. I'll tell you why, because...
Your microphone, Jess.
I'll tell you why you never heard that, Terry. Is because what we're dealing with right now is what Pope... I'll say it again. St. John Paul II told us this in 1978. And Archbishop Vigano has been saying this recently. We're dealing with the church versus the anti-church. This is what we're dealing with. This is part of the globalist Green New Deal, which is a religion to the left. And let's not be fooled. The Catholic left is in bed with the religious left in this country. And the communists and the Masons. Nothing about this synodality and everything that's being proposed here, you know, about this environmentalism, none of this stuff, Terry, is God-centered. It's man-centered.
It is. And Jesse, let me just jump in, because I got to tell you, people are going, what can we do, Jesse and Terry? Well, tonight, we pray for our Pope. We pray for the bishops at our Holy Hour of Power from 7 to 9. I've got a holy priest coming at 7 p.m. to offer the Mass. That's the greatest thing we can do. We'll put that intention to pray for our leaders to knock off this worldliness. That's what I call worldliness. In other words, thinking about only this world. I want to see the next world, because guess what? The world here ends quickly for me and for all of people who are listening. But the world, the future world, is for all eternity. Doesn't it make sense, Jess, to spend more time on helping someone find eternal happiness rather than a little titillation of saying, hey, I got my solar panels up. I got my bottles being recycled. You know, that's important. Don't get me wrong, but it can't compare to my soul of my salvation. The sin, the pollution of sin. We need to go back to cleaning up our soul as the number one resource for our church, in my humble opinion.
The Catholic left is more concerned with the pollution of the environment.
That's unfortunate.
Than they are than the pollution of the soul.
Well said.
For the Catholic left, the modernists, for them, Catholic social justice has replaced evangelization.
You said it, Jess.
Evangelization for them is environmental programs. And
has nothing to do with it.
And as Philip Lawler said, he says about this synod consultation and environmental action platform, the Vatican is recruiting people to work at parishes, dioceses, to pursue the desired goals of this new Green Deal.
Let's recruit some people to live holy lives. Holy Mother, the Church has been asking us to do that for 2,000 years. When we come back, part two of Phil Lawler's article that should inspire you to pray deeper and be holy, or at least I try. Stay with us.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Lay people, beware when church leaders manipulate the language.
Yep.
As I said, this is called verbal engineering, which leads to social engineering. Philip Lawler writes about the abuse of language that he's seen in recent pronouncements from Holy Mother Church's leadership. He focuses on two recent Vatican pronouncements, and he gives some noteworthy American examples. He says this: sometimes the misuse of language is downright Orwellian. When Chicago's Cardinal Blaise Cupich announced that unvaccinated Catholics must not be allowed inside churches without masks, he stipulated that each parish should have officials at the doors to check every individual for proof of vaccination. These people, who will block the doors to those who are unmasked and undocumented, are identified as the parish's greeter hospitality team. Some greeting and some hospitality. He says, unless I'm much mistaken, these greeters will not be asking parishioners to show the results of their latest tuberculosis tests. They won't quiz people about other legitimate public health concerns like, do you smoke? Do you take intravenous drugs? Do you engage in sexual practices known to spread disease? No! They will have one and only one medical concern, the single test ordered by Cardinal Cupich in his capacity as a public health official. But the Cardinal is not a public health official.
Nope.
He's a bishop of the Catholic Church who should have other concerns like our souls. So if the parish guards, and let's use honest language because that's what a lot of these ushers are now.
Yeah.
They're the parish security guards. If they're deciding which people should be allowed into the church, aren't there more important questions that they might ask? For instance, why don't they ask people, are you party to an invalid marriage? Or have you voted to support legal abortion? But here's the rub. Because Cardinal Cupich has also been he's been leading the charge to block a discussion about Eucharistic coherence, currently scheduled to take place at the U.S. Bishops' meeting in June, which started yesterday.
And it didn't take place. He won.
Unbelievable.
Jesse, let me just jump in one more time here. Because the CDC just recently loosened the guidelines on mask wearing for fully vaccinated people will no longer be required to wear masks for mass and liturgical celebrations. Masks are required for unvaccinated worshipers outdoors when social distancing is not possible. And just check this out. And at all times indoors, here's what the CD said, Cardinal. Parishes are not to verify who and who isn't vaccinated. Okay? That's the CDC, not the Cardinal. So the point I'm trying to convey is, again, what's the Cardinal's his importance is my physical health rather than my spiritual health. The question that the good Philip Lawler asks is, yeah, what about if someone living in an invalid marriage? What about have you supported abortion on demand? Oh, no, those are things for your soul. We don't want to talk about that. That's what we need to be talking about because last time I looked, nobody gets out alive. So Cardinal Cupich, yes, Jesse, went all the way to Rome to try and persuade the Congregation of the Doctrine of Faith to tell the American bishops not to discuss this at the meeting. And from what I just read early this morning, right before we went on the air, they did not do it. And I just say this as shepherds, please, please, shepherd my soul, not my body.
Again, Our Lady of La Salette warned us about wicked, corrupt bishops. Our Lady of Akita, Japan.
He did.
Our Lady of Good Success.
Yep.
They told us that corrupt, wicked bishops would oppose the good bishops, and we're seeing it in full color right now. Now, this is sad, Terry, that the bishops are polarized right now. Again, St. John Paul II calls the two churches, the church versus the anti-church. But there are other signs of dissimulation here as well. Although in theory, Cardinal Cupich strongly supports Pope Francis and his call for decentralized decision-making, but in practice, Cupich lobbied energetically for Vatican intervention to curtail an open discussion amongst the American bishops.
Yep.
So he's selective about this this decentralization, only when it benefits the left.
Exactly.
Although Cupich complains that the discussion might cause divisions, Cupich and his modernist allies deepen the fractures within the Episcopal Conference by urging a late change to the agenda, the elimination of a topic that had already been approved by the usual process. It reminds me, Terry, our Lord said, you know, they're talking about, oh, this discussion is going to cause division.
Yeah.
Well, Jesus Christ said, I did not come to bring peace, but to bring divisions.
The very thing they're vying to avoid.
Yeah, in other words, the truth of the gospel, Jesus tells us, divides people even within families, parishes, dioceses, and chancery office. Philip Lawler writes, Above all, Cardinal Kupich and his allies do not want dialogue on this issue.
Nope.
For all their insistence on open discussion, it's an open discussion that they are doing, that they're doing their utmost to stop, to thwart.
Yeah.
The incessant calls for dialogue are a smokescreen.
That's right.
An attempt to assure that the issue will remain unresolved indefinitely. Terry, they only want dialogue on social justice issues, not on the enforcement of clear-cut teachings and the doctrines of Holy Mother Church. Lawler ends by saying,
yep,
the proponents of this inauthentic dialogue argue that instead of upholding the perennial teaching of the church, instead of fulfilling the clear demands of canon law, pastors should engage in quiet, personal conversations with those prominent Catholics who support the slaughter of the unborn.
Wow.
There is, of course, no reason why a pastor cannot undertake that dialogue and fulfill his canonical duties. But again, there's a deeper point at issue. In nearly 50 years since the Roe versus Wade decision, some of this country's most prominent Catholic politicians have grown steadily more forthright in their support for unrestricted legal abortion on demand, while bishops trumpet the need for ever more dialogue.
Where's the fruit?
Yeah. Politicians scoff at the church's moral law, and they denigrate those who uphold it. Show me one case of an active Catholic politician who has repented of his support for abortion and embraced the pro-life cause after a quiet conversation with his bishop. Just one case, says Philip Lawler, and I'll take the argument for dialogue a bit more seriously.
Well said. Well said. You know, again, Cardinal Kupich, when he was the Bishop of Spokane, Washington, he forbid his priest to go and pray the rosary at abortion clinics. See, that tells me everything he thinks about abortion. And again, dialogue has gotten us nowhere, Jesse. You know what? Let's look at it for the last 50 years. What has dialogue? Oh, we need to talk about this more. No, you know what we need? We need action. We need to implement what Christ taught about the sacredness of life. We need to implement the perennial teachings of the church and stop backpedaling and saying, oh no, we might offend somebody. I'm tired of it, Jesse. I've seen this for 40 years of dialogue. It's gotten us nowhere. Let's be bold, and I pray for our bishops, our pope, and priests. That's what we do tonight at 7 to 9 every Thursday here at the chapel in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Get down on our knees and pray for them, because it sounds like I'm criticizing them. Do you think it's easy for me to say all these things? No, I don't want to have to say that, but you know what? We have to. You know why? Fulton Sheen asked us to do this, Jess. Again, the laity is going to save the church. Speak out with clarity and charity. And I think that's what you did out in New Jersey, Jesse, and it should inspire thousands more to do the same.
Terry, here's what dialogue means to the bishops. It means this. I'm too afraid to tell the rich, powerful, and famous Catholics to repent and believe in the gospel because of their earthly power.
Right.
It also means when they say let's engage in dialogue, what the bishops mean by that is that I'm not worthy of my red hat because I would never die for Christ and his church. I would never uphold the teachings of the church in front of politicians. It means that I'm no St. John Fisher. I'm no St. Thomas More. I'm no St. Edmund Campion. I'm no Blessed Miguel Pro, and I don't want to be one of them. Right. That's what dialogue means, Terry.
You got it. Well said.
The USCCB should courageously find it in their heart, their holy orders that they've been given, and they should courageously declare the Democratic Party to be an official structure of sin, as the Catechism calls certain institutions, structures of sins. The Democrat Party is a structure of sin, and they're morally bankrupt. And many of these party leaders are walking public scandals that should rightly merit excommunication from the Catholic Church because of their public lives and their words. And the structures of sin are mentioned in the Catechism, paragraph 1869. These are Planned Parenthood is a structure of sin. Playboy is a structure of sin. The Democrat Party is a structure of sin. Let's call it like it is, Terry.
Jesse, I want to remind everybody who's going to be going to Mass, if you ever get someone to ask you if you have not been vaccinated, tell them to go pound sand, okay? Our own Archbishop in Los Angeles, 5.5 million Catholics, just came out with his document, and he said parishes are not to verify who is and who's not vaccinated. So just have that at your fingertips, because what's going to happen is, for those who are holding the line on the traditional teachings of the church when it comes to abortion, same-sex marriage, you're going to have some people inside the church that are going to, you know, give you a hard time. Well, pick up your cross and follow me is what our Lord says. Don't buy it for 1 second. Stand up for the truth and share the gospel and stop this outrageous compromise that's going on in the world and the church by living your Catholic faith moment by moment. That's my advice to you.
Terry, and also when somebody says, hey, have you been vaccinated? You walk into the church, say,
yeah, that's what they're saying.
Are you my doctor? Oh, no, you're not my doctor. Those medical records are basically, these are HIPAA laws.
That's right.
I'm not supposed to divulge them to anybody
right.
but my doctor. And also the Nuremberg trials also tell us that I'm not supposed to divulge my medical records to anybody other than my doctor.
Amen, Jesse. Hey, this show, I hope, inspired you to stand up for Jesus right now, because God has given you this lifetime to be right now, not 100 years ago, not 500 years from now. Stand up, be counted for as a follower of Jesus Christ, and never compromise. Jess Romero, what state actually should we be living in?
State of grace. Don't live in a state of mortal sin. And in the words of the first pope, St. Peter, he said, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. St. Padre Pio says, pray, hope, and don't worry. Worry is useless. God is merciful and will hear your prayer.
Dr. Sandoval's up next. If you don't have that on your station, go and get our free app by going to vmpr.org and pick it up, and you can hear all the good shows that we have. Our shows have one mission in life, and that is to help you meet Jesus Christ and to get to heaven and his church. May God richly bless you, and pray for us that we'll be followers of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much. God bless you.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great high priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.
Dr. Luis Sandoval is accomplished in the fields of mental health and spiritual warfare. A medical doctor, board certified in neurology, psychiatry, and family medicine, he is also